Our next item is old business. We have three items of old business this evening. Our first one is change of zone number 1697, Lantech Receiver Services, LLC.
Mr. Lang, did you have any comments on this one?
No.
Gentlemen, you'll recall this is one that's been deferred for a little while, and a couple things came in since the public hearing. You'll recall that we left the record open for receipt of several documents, which included the Declaration of Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions for the Peninsula, the escrow agreement for membership deposits, and also we received the Fourth Amended Consolidated and Restated Membership Plan for the Peninsula Golf and Country Club. In looking at those, as a question came up during the public hearing about the relationship between homeowners and the Homeowners Association, homeowners and members and the club, and there were also questions about the escrow agreement. One thing about the escrow agreement, was presented during the hearing as a means of security for the construction of the club. In reviewing it and reviewing the other governing documents, that's not something that was designed as part of this application process. The escrow agreement was established and was funded as memberships were sold, you know, throughout the peninsula's existence, or most of it anyway, it appears. In other words, that wasn't a reaction to the need to secure the construction of the club in the context of these proceedings before the county. It was a process where you got a membership, you funded the club construction or other amenity constructions related to the club. It went into that fund, and then later on, you know, it would secure the building or get refunded to the members. Anyway, in looking at the declaration, there's a couple of important provisions that relate to this. All the homeowners in the peninsula are required to be members of the club, the country club, the golf club. The golf club or country club is not an amenity, though, of the association, so it's not a stormwater management pond or a basketball court or a community clubhouse that we see on regular subdivisions. It's a separate entity completely from the residential development, although it's, physically within it. It's totally separate. It's not maintained or managed by the Homeowners Association. The members pay dues each year. The developer and Lantech and whoever might be the developer in the future is not a member of the club. It's the owner of the club. The members are the ones that are required to pay dues to maintain and operate the club, which means the golf course, the other club amenities, and the clubhouse if it's built. The developer and Lantech, again, since it's not a member, doesn't have to contribute to those dues, which again is different from a subdivision amenity. Usually if you have a subdivision and you have, a tot lot that has to be built and maintained, the developer has to fund and pay for that until such time as there's enough owners that have been, or homes that have been sold to fund it. That's not the case with the club. The club sets up the dues itself, and it charges those to the members. The dues are assessed on an annual basis, and the way the documents describe it, what they do is they look at the budget, they look at the costs, and then they figure out what the dues are, and then they assess those to the members. The interesting thing, it seems to me, in reading this, is that the members really don't have a say in it. I mean, I suppose there's an implied, condition that the club operate in good faith, but the members, there's an advisory committee, but they're not the ones that control the management of the club or the assessment of the dues. It's set by the club itself, which is, again, the developer, a company created by the developer. So that's where we are. There was some confusion, it seemed to me, among some of the testimony that was presented and some of the questions, and actually, I got to say, I didn't have a clear understanding of it until I read those documents, but again, they're two separate things. And the dues that are charged to club members are separate from the dues that are charged to the subdivision. And the members, again, are solely responsible for those dues for the club. Not the developer and the company that runs the club doesn't have to pay dues at all. So I hope that sort of clarifies the governing documents for both the club and the subdivision. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate your comments. I did want to ask you just one housekeeping thing. Did the issue of the land tax standing get resolved?
It did. There was a the initial or the current order was ran through, I think it was January 8th. There was a hearing that was scheduled to occur unless there was any objections, and I don't believe there's any objections that were received by the court. So it's my understanding, unless there's information that's out there that I don't know of, that got extended.
Okay.
That's just for everybody's benefit. What we're talking about is the receivership, and that's a court of chancery order. It does a couple things. It appointed Land Tech as a receiver for the entire development, including the club. It also put in place requirements that certain expenditures or activities couldn't occur without approval by the Court of Chancery.
So. Okay. All right, gentlemen. Any discussion?
Yes, I have a point of clarification in terms of the construction of amenities. Typically, is it not the county's practice to require a bond for those completion of those?
It's not only the practice, but it's the ordinance that requires bonds or letters of credit, you know, for amenities, for roads, that type of thing. And they're all administered through the county engineering department, whether they're, again, for amenities, you know, including clubhouses or tot lots or whatever, buffers, for example, but also roadways, you know, anything that's required to be built on a project.
Originally, the bonds were set up for streets and stormwater, and we incorporated a year or two ago to include amenities so that we would require 125% of construction cost to guarantee construction just due to inflation, that type of thing. So we did. It's 125% of cost.
Okay. And, gentlemen, I know that myself, I've been very, has made perhaps some of the residents or folks that have purchased in the peninsula, I've been perturbed at the lack of construction on the clubhouse, which was originally promised as, you know, and is marketed to folks that were buying into it. So I'm concerned about the time process and how long this should be allowed to drag on, you know, whether it's the economy or whatever the factors might be, when the condition and ultimately the council imposes certain conditions, the expectation they'll be carried out. So I know I, for one, am concerned about the issue of making the construction of the clubhouse contingent upon reaching a certain goal of membership or type of membership, and who's going to monitor that, and you know, who's going to be the bean counter for all that. So, you know, I'm concerned about that process myself. And I'd be a whole lot more comfortable with trying once again by setting a time frame. But that's me. I would like input from fellow commissioners in terms of that respect.
I would just point out before, you know, the commissioners speak, that council's been more recently giving direction to try to simplify that type of thing. Like, one that comes to mind is, you know, when on conditional uses, for a time there'd been a requirement that there'd be no more than a certain number of employees, and council said, well, you know, how are we going to police that? You know, it's those types of things, and that's what I think, you know, would be difficult in this situation with memberships.
Their biggest objection to commission recommendation has been hours.
Yeah.
Mm. You require hours from 7 to 7, and they say, who's going to be out there at 7 p.m. trying to police it, or 7 a.m. trying to police it? And they basically, and typically they just strike them from their conditions of approval.
Well, I have a little bit of difficulty with anything that can't be universally tracked, and time can certainly be universally tracked. So I would tend to favor a time limit of some description rather than it being dependent on any action or inaction by the developer or the clubhouse or whoever.
Insofar as tracking, not having been a member of the commission when this first went to public hearing, but having sat through two public hearings on an amendment, Do we have a standard that we know or an expectation that this clubhouse, whenever it gets built, will look like? Is are we relying on the applicant, what they may have presented in that public hearing of 5,000 square foot clubhouse or 4,500 square foot? Do we have an idea what that will be, or is clubhouse
not
just
until
be
it's submitted to the commission for review?
I see.
It hasn't been. It wasn't originally.
Okay.
Or I don't know that there was a side. There may have been a square footage reference. I don't. Right off the top of my head, I can't remember.
But I can tell you that there was not any size or square footage that was referenced as a condition of the original ordinance. I mean, it didn't say
it wasn't in the ordinance.
Right.
No,
right.
It may have been in the presentation. It wasn't a requirement.
I'm sure some footprint was shown on the site plan, although that was perhaps more illustrative than it was prescriptive.
And I would imagine, again, I wasn't here either. I would imagine there was probably conceptual drawings showing what they thought it would look like. But I got to say, I would chalk that up to the same thing when we see houses, you know, on a subdivision.
Well, it's not a consideration.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not part of our ordinance. So.
I think I agree with Mike on that it should be time, not memberships, number one. And then secondly, Vince, there is a homeowners association and then there is a club membership. Can you drop out of that club membership or are you just stuck with the dues?
I don't think you can drop out of it. It says you must be a member, and there's actually sort of a crossover between the two in that they're separate organizations, but if you don't pay your dues to the club has the ability through the association to place a lien on your property for those unpaid dues. So, you know, those dues would continue to accumulate, and then there'd be liens put on your property for non-payment.
Okay. And the timeline, it would be, in your thinking, would be construction?
Yes.
Shovel? Or
starting.
Start.
Start and finish?
Yeah, you'd have to give them.
We don't want them starting 5 years later. They finish.
Yeah. We don't want to
know which way.
Turn a spade to dirt
which
and say, well, got that job. Yeah. So, and all that being said, as far as time goes, I think in the state of things, and our economy being what they are, I think we have to have a realistic time frame because it's not going to bounce back quite as fast, I don't think. But that's just me.
Is there a requirement if they build a clubhouse? Is there a requirement that they actually operate and open the clubhouse, or
I don't think we can require them to do anything but build it. Really?
So
I mean, not to operate it,
if the management chose to minimize the impact to the current homeowners, then they could, you know, build the clubhouse. The amenity would be there in a physical structure, but they could minimize the operational expenses and all that by actually not opening the clubhouse until.
Or a limited basis, or only parts of it, or something. We really don't have any say about how they manage.
That would be their option.
Business. That's their option to do it however they want to.
On a lot of conditional uses and some subdivisions, it's been stated that it'd be open for use by the residents within a certain time frame. If it's open for use, then it basically would be open.
Well, it would be, yeah.
It may only be a portion.
Agreed, yeah. That it would that as long as there was some functioning aspect of it, I think they'd probably fulfill a lot of the law. So.
I think at a minimum, if you say it's got to be complete by a certain time, that inherently means that, you know, they've got to have a certificate of occupancy and everything else for it. I mean, I don't think that's what anybody's talking about, that you build a shell, you know, and it's not fitted out. You'd have to have it built out.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know, just for the sake of throwing a number on the wall and see if it sticks, you know, I think maybe giving them 6 to 9 months for planning, permits, architectural drawings, whatever, and then 12 months for construction after that. You know, I don't know if that's a starting point, if that's too tight, too loose, but just to give them some planning time, and then require the bond up front, some limited time after the council polishes everything up to their satisfaction.
Mr. Chairman, given your your other job, what's the realistic construction?
Well, it's going to depend on what the final design is, how big it is, and all those things. I think that might be a little tight, given the current state of things. We have no idea where they are on design or anything like that. So, and everything takes longer than you think. So,
but once something's under construction, what would be a reasonable?
Well, I think a year would be plenty to get it built. Yeah, to build it, I think certainly could be built within a year. I mean, we similar projects, larger projects, I know, so of that type have been built in that time frame. So I'm sure that a year is enough for construction.
But it might be reasonable for them to begin construction within a year as a means of their being able to develop their plans, get their approvals, and or is that?
Well, I think they probably could. I think the issue becomes more of do we want to allow time for any other reasons, economic reasons, or in general? That would be my question.
If I might ask a question of Mr. Lang, since we don't have a motion yet, if a motion is put forward to deny this request, when does construction begin?
Forthwith.
Yeah, basically it should have started.
In the bond, correct.
Passed. Didn't start under the last amendment.
So it would be?
The bond was never presented either.
It'd be a citation for being in default.
It would have to be processed through legal channels. It may have to go back through maybe some reference requirement to the court of chancery for an opinion before we even take that step. I don't know.
I think the other thing that the county would probably look at to be consistent with how it's handled these is probably would be withholding building permits and, you know, things like that within the development. I'm not saying they would do that, but that's been the path that the county's taken on other folks that either don't have bonds or have expired bonds or whatever.
Well, that's all the county has at that point. I mean, it's, you
short
know,
of going
it's
to court.
The only means of enforcement that they have.
So there is a precedent for that.
Yeah, we
correct. Thank
not
you.
Unusual at all.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue that I see is what grounds do we have since the Court of Chancery is involved in this process? They would have to approve whatever we require.
I mean, ultimately, unless during the time period that we established, you know, it gets out of the receivership, you know, whenever they build it, it's going to require the Court of Chancery's approval, it seems to me, just the way that original order was set up.
How long does something like that take?
Well, there's already, the receiver's been appointed. I think that would happen fairly quick. You know, there'd be a
decision on whether this is a
government. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because the order talks about that court approval's needed to, you know, take certain steps or spend certain amounts of money, so it would be an application to the court. I mean, that's not a big, long, drawn-out process. So.
And our actions are assignable to any owner or ownership group that would take over from the receiver? I mean, the application says Land Tech receiver, so it, whatever action we take would follow.
Mm-hmm. That would be an ordinance that would affect this property, right, no matter who owns it.
And the bond would be attached to either this owner or the next one?
Yeah, the bond would be attached typically to the developer at the time, whether it be Land Tech or whoever. If they sold it, that bond would remain in effect until somebody else came in and replaced it with their own. I mean, that's the way it's typically been handled.
It worked that way, too.
Yeah, yeah. The county won't release a bond, you know, unless it's got one to replace it or the work's been done.
Or it's built.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and as Vince said earlier, we have several projects right now that can't get building permits until they post new bonds or new guarantees, whether it be cash escrow, letter of credit, performance bond, some method has to be provided. Because so, they're just on hold, pretty much.
So, Mr. Chairman, the bottom line is that whatever we recommend, number one, has to be acted upon by council, then number two might be subject to review and approval by the Court of Chancery. Am I correct, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I think
that's correct. Yeah. And assuming that they get approval for the time frame and so on, there are probably other Court of Chancery hoops they have to go through to actually spend the money.
Yeah.
I don't know what the agreement is, but I know typically in those situations the court has some significant oversight over major expenditures. And I would have a little concern that they might get hung up a little bit there. But
what they would need a design to come up with a number to present to the court.
Well, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
However, it happens in reverse sometimes. There's design build, there's also build design. But yes, that's somebody would
have to.
Yeah, there's it has to be something
number.
That
that's based on square feet.
If I were the judge, I'd want to know how they developed the number. I would want to make sure that they didn't just pull it out of the air. So, yeah, there would need to be something.
Well, so perhaps, giving them 2 years to start construction and 18 months to be completed after that, is that certainly a reasonable process for them to appeal to the court and the court come back and tell us no?
I think it's generous, yeah. I mean, and I think it's probably warranted in this situation. I don't care for it. It should have been done. People relied on it being done. We relied on it being done. But the situation is what it is, gentlemen. So I think we need to face the common reality here. So, yeah, that's probably okay. That's all right to me. I don't know what you guys think. Too long?
For me. I just think it's allowing too much time. The previous commission and council already granted them an extension of time, and there's people that purchased. I know some people are in agreement with this, and there's others that testified that they weren't. They bought something and expected something.
I understand.
And, I don't know how long a line we're going to have in here of people asking for the very same thing once we continue to do this. So I don't think no action is appropriate. I think the economy is pretty crappy. So, given some latitude, given the situation, but I don't think going that far, maybe a year for planning and a year for construction, that will give them ample time to noodle through with the court and the bank and see what they want to do and still be able to draw up plans for a facility that might be to meet the expectations of the people living there and might not. That's up to them. They were given a pitch of what to expect.
All right, sir. Anybody else?
When we last had this vote, prior to the vote, which was a year or so ago, I was of the opinion that a deal was a deal and that the clubhouse should be built at that time. Now, Mr. Johnson presented a motion at that time that not only swayed me to change my vote, I believe the minutes reveal that I seconded the motion. So I don't know that that will happen this time, but I'm willing to listen to a motion that Mr. Johnson had that at that time, to this day, we've at least given them another year since when we compelled them under the number of COs to go ahead and build. So I still feel like a deal's a deal, and I'd like to see the thing built now.
Sounded like a year and a year.
Works for me, John. Because I agree. I think we're all being frustrated by the what's taking place there, and some of it is certainly due to the economy, and perhaps certainly some of it might have been due to the previous developer. I don't know, but unfortunately, they're caught in the same quagmire every other developer is. But yet, like you said, a deal's a deal. Well, Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of the application of Landtech Receiver Services, LLC, for an amendment to condition number 10 imposed on ordinance number 1573 for change of zone number 1475 as previously amended by ordinance number
2018 for change of zone number 1697, based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. Now, I hope you all understand what all that meant. But,
that's the way it was introduced. So.
Yes. But their requests should be modified from the proposal set forth by the applicants. One, a clubhouse must be built as promised by the original developers. That promise is relied upon by the county and by those purchasing lots within the peninsula development. Two, the receiver has been appointed by the Court of Chancery to maintain and operate the entire peninsula development, including the clubhouse. Land Tech, the receiver, has made positive steps in continuing with the development of the project. Three, the development and club currently have a lot of substantial amenities. Many of these amenities will be included in a clubhouse, including a grill, pro shop, health and fitness center, locker rooms, swimming pools, and other facilities. Four, based on the governing documents of the Peninsula and the Peninsula Country Club, neither the developer nor Land Tech are members of the club. Only members pay dues based upon the budget determined by the club each year. Five, construction of the clubhouse would place an undue burden on not only the developer or receiver, but also on the individual members, which are homeowners in the development. They would be required to carry the costs of the clubhouse and its operations and maintenance. Similarly, the increased dues associated with the clubhouse would adversely affect the marketability of future sales within the development, which are necessary to maintain its viability. All purchasers of residential units within the peninsula are required to be club members. Six, the county has received many letters in support of the applicant's request to delay construction of the clubhouse. In contrast, only one property owner has objected to the proposal. Seven, the applicant has stated that the required number of members necessary to construct and operate and maintain the clubhouse will be achieved in 3 to 4 years. Eight, I do not believe that the applicant's proposal for determining the time frame to construct a clubhouse based upon membership is appropriate. The proposal places too much control over the timing in the hands of the developer, the applicant, or the club owner at the time. Instead, the county should set a specific date that is known to everyone for completion of the clubhouse. Nine, I also do not believe that the escrow agreement proposed by the applicant is the best means to guarantee completion of the clubhouse. The county's ordinances require bonds or letters of credit as guarantees for completion. In this case, that means of guarantee should be used as well. 10, it is my recommendation that condition number 10 to change of zone 1475 as amended by change of zone 1697 should be as follows. The recreational facilities, tennis courts, swimming pool, community buildings, pathways, trails, and beaches shall be constructed and open to use by the residents within 2 years of the issuance of the building permit. B, the nature center, which kind of got lost in the discussion, as it certainly has not been completed either, but B, the nature center shall be constructed and open for use by May 30, 2011. C, construction of the clubhouse shall commence no later than 1 year from the date Sussex County Council approves change in zone number 1697, with construction to be complete 12 months thereafter. A bond, cash bond, or letter of credit shall be provided to Sussex County in the amount of 125% of the cost of completion of the clubhouse within 60 days of the date the Sussex County Council approves change in zone number 1697.
I think you should add one thing if you're done, and that would be a I guess it would be D to that. The site plan for the clubhouse shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you. And then in D, the site plan for the clubhouse shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
I will second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1697, Lantech Receiver Services, LLC, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Here.
So the motion carries 3-2. All right, gentlemen, our next item